Can you turn with me, please, this evening to the Old Testament and to the book of 2 Chronicles? Book of 2 Chronicles and the chapter 33, please. 2 Chronicles, chapter 33. And as you find the place, can I take this opportunity to again thank the ministers, the session, and the youth committee for their invitation to me to be a part of this youth mission. It's been my pleasure to be a part of it and to be with you these past few nights. And I want to commend the young people for their faithfulness. I want to commend them for their prayerfulness. It was a blessing before we even got to the meeting to get to the prayer meeting and to hear the young people pray. And I want to thank them and commend them for their prayers and also for their efforts in bringing other young people in. And it was so encouraging to see night after night young people bringing other young people in to the gospel mission. And I want to commend you as a congregation for the group of young people that God has given to you. Continue to pray for them and pray that the Lord would be with them and help them as they seek to live and serve the Lord in this generation. So it's my pleasure to have been with you this past week and also again tonight. Over the past number of nights, we've been looking very specifically at the subject of the gospel of grace and the grace of God as it is seen in the lives of individuals. And over the past number of nights, we've been looking at it, that subject of grace in the lives of certain individuals in the Old Testament. And as we bring the mission to a conclusion for tonight, we want to look at another example of the grace of God evidenced and at work in the life of a man in the Old Testament. And we're reading from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 33. And let's hear the word of the Lord. And let's pray that the Lord would speak to us even through his word as we read it just now. 2 Chronicles, chapter 33, in the verse number 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land, which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh, and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto them. He was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. We'll end there at verse 13, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of His Word to all of our hearts. Let's just stop and still our hearts before the Lord in prayer. As we come to Him tonight, we need His help. We come to the Word of God, to the preaching of the Gospel. We need the help of the Lord. You know and love the Lord, then pray with us and pray for us. It's our prayer tonight, if you're in this meeting without the Savior, that the Lord would speak to your heart, and tonight He would save your precious soul. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee already for a sense of Thy presence. We thank Thee for the young people who have taken part. We thank the Lord for the leading. We thank the Lord for the reading of Scripture. We thank the Lord for the opening of prayer. We thank Thee for the singing. And for Ellie's testimony, we thank Thee, Lord, tonight that Thy name has already been glorified. But, O God, we look to Thee now for help from heaven. Lord, as we consider the Word of God tonight, O Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, use this vessel of clay to thine honor and to Thy glory. O God, we pray, fill us with the Spirit of God. Help us to preach, Lord, as we ought to preach. And, O God, we pray that You'll give that attentive listening ear. And Heavenly Father, we pray especially tonight for those gathered here in this meeting, young or old, out of Christ. O God, we pray that tonight You'd speak to them. Lord, strive with them, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight through the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that You'll take a dealing with their heart and bring them, Lord, through to Thyself, we pray. God, we pray, make this place a place of salvation. O God, we cry unto Thee for help now to preach, for help to hear, and through everything may Thy name be honored and glorified. So hear and answer prayer, for we ask it in Thy name and for Thy glory alone. Amen and amen. Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were accused by the United States government of passing information about the nuclear weapons ability of the United States government to the then Soviet Union. They were accused of being spies and of committing treason against their own country. And so they were put on trial for these charges. And the famous Rosenberg trial lasted for almost a month. And for 4 weeks, both sides put their cases to the judge who was presiding over the trial. That judge was a man by the name of Irving Kaufman. And towards the end of that trial, as the cases had been put, the judge made his concluding remarks. And he summed up the whole case and the various pieces of evidence that were brought before him. And he pronounced judgment upon the Rosenbergs. And he found them to be guilty. They were guilty of treason against their country. And as such, they were condemned to death row. But just as the judge was summing up his remarks, all of a sudden the lawyer for the Rosenberg stood to his feet and he said, "Your Honor, can I but speak for a moment?" And the judge said, "Well, I'll give you one last opportunity." And the lawyer said to the judge, "On behalf of my clients, Your Honor, what my clients ask for is justice, nothing more than justice." Judge Kaufman turned to the lawyer and said, "Sir, this court has given what you've asked for. This court has given justice to your clients. They have received justice for what they have done." He said, "The mistake, however, is that you do not really know what your clients need. Because what your clients really need just now is mercy. But mercy is something which this court cannot give them." And so they were condemned to death just after 8 p.m. on the 19th of June, 1953. The Rosenbergs were put to death in a New York prison. They received justice for what they had done, but they received no mercy. In our Bible reading this evening, we speak of a man who received something that the Rosenbergs desperately needed. but something which no earthly judge or no earthly man could ever give. In our scripture reading, I trust you've seen already how that Manasseh was a sinful man, a wicked man, a man who created grievous acts against God. He had broken the laws of God, the judge of all the earth. And yet, despite what his sin deserved, Manasseh was shown mercy. He received grace at the hands of God. He is referred to, of course, as I'm sure you well know, as the prodigal son of the Old Testament. And this man, despite all of his crimes against the God of heaven, received mercy and experienced the grace of God. And as we consider the life of Manasseh this evening, I want us to see certain things about his life and how he came to experience the grace and the mercy of God. I want you to see, first of all, with me here that there is a privileged lad. A privileged lad. Verse number 2 really sums up the life of Manasseh. The opening line of verse number 2 says that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. That really is the account of Manasseh's life. Now there is more detail given in the subsequent verses, but really verse number 2, the opening line is a summary of the life of Manasseh. He did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. But here's the thing that makes this all the more grievous, is that this man Manasseh was brought up in a God-fearing and a good home. His father was a godly man. His father was the king Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good man, a godly man, a man who sought to lead the nation in the ways of God, a man who ordered his people according to the standards of God. And if you know anything about the life of Hezekiah, you'll know that there came a time in his life when he became very ill. And he sought the Lord along with the prophet Isaiah that his life might be extended. And in answer to prayer, Hezekiah's life, which seemingly was coming to an end, was extended by a further 15 years. And it was during these 15 years, just 3 years into these extra years, that Hezekiah received a son. Manasseh was born. Now, as we consider a little more of Manasseh tonight, and we consider his rebellion, we consider his rejection against God, very interesting to note that Manasseh, he experienced the grace of God even in the very fact of his birth. Before he ever came to be king, he experienced the grace of God. Because he was really there as an answer to the prayers of the people of God that his father's life was extended, and subsequently then Manasseh was born. Yet here was a young man. Here was this son of a godly man, now rebelling and rejecting and reacting against his godly upbringing. He's turning his back on the very grace of God that he had experienced young in life. He's rebelling now against his father. And the things that we read about here in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, I think are made all the worse when we consider the home in which he was brought up. Here was a young man nursed in the gospel. Here was a young man who had a good example in his father Hezekiah concerning the things of God, yet here was a man who turned against it all. What a privilege this young lad had. He had the greatest privilege that any child could ever have, and that is of being born into a Christian home and into a Christian family. Maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight, and I don't know you. Vast majority of you here, I do not know. But maybe tonight, you're a Manasseh. Young man, young woman, you've been brought up in the things of God in your home, brought up in the things of God in this church. You have a mother and a father who pray for you. You have other relatives who love you in the Lord. And yet tonight you have decided you're not having anything more to do with the things of God. And you're breaking your mother's heart and your father's heart. And tonight you want to live it up in sin. Tonight you want to live for the world and live as far away from God as you possibly can. You're privileged this evening. Privileged of being brought up in a Christian home. And yet you are rejecting that privilege. Rejecting the fact that there are those in your family who love you in the Lord, who want nothing but the best for you in life, who desire that you would come to the Lord and come and experience the grace of God, and yet all you do is want to turn yourself away from that godly influence. Well, as we'll see this evening, be warned that God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Because I believe those who have all the privileges as Manasseh had of a godly home and a godly influence, their rebellion is all the worse against God and in the sight of God. We see a privileged lad. But I want us to see something more here. We see a problemed life. A problemed life. Despite the privileges that Manasseh had, he went his own way. He did his own thing. And it brought many problems into his life. You see, I believe that for a time, God allowed this young man to go far into the things of God just to show how foolish he was. Maybe tonight you're thinking, I'm the master of my own destiny, and I'm getting away from God, and I'm doing what I want, and nobody is telling me what to do. But tonight your life is under the control of God, and He can do with it as He pleases. Here was a young man walking away from the privileges that he had as a child. He lived as if God didn't exist. He lived as if God didn't matter. He lived as if God had no bearing upon his life. And I believe he did that because he wanted to drown out the voice of his conscience, which I believe was telling him what he was doing was wrong. But he just wanted to go more and more and deeper into sin to try to drown out that conscience. He did some wicked things. In verse number 3, we read that he built again the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. Hezekiah was the reforming king, and he sought to purge the worship of all the false idolatry and to reform it and to bring it back to the ways of God. But Manasseh did everything within his power to remove every influence of God. He was bringing the people back to idolatry. He was bringing the people back to false worship. He was undoing everything that his father sought to do. Here was a man who had no reverence nor respect for his parents because he was so rebellious and set on the course of bringing down every thought of God. He couldn't even bear to see any reference to God. Is that you tonight? Have you lived your life trying to remove every gospel influence in your life? All those gospel truths that have been instilled in you as a child. You're trying to remove them all and you want nothing to do with it. And maybe you're only here tonight to keep someone happy. Maybe young man, young woman, you're only here tonight just to tick a box. Oh, you'd rather tonight be in the things of the world. You want to remove every influence of God and the gospel in your life. You see that he observed times in verse 6, witchcraft, a familiar spirit, wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Here was a man who was storing up the wrath and the anger of God because of the way he was living. Manasseh thought he could live without God. Manasseh thought that he would never be accountable to God for his actions. And all the time he was storing up wrath and the anger of God. And yet Manasseh wasn't content to do this for himself. He wanted the whole nation of Judah to go with him. Look in verse 6. He caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. What an awful thing. His very children. He wanted them to have nothing to do with God either. He caused his children to err. And in verse number 9, look what it says. Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen. What an awful account. Using his position, using his preeminence to cause many others to deny the truth of God. Manasseh was the Pied Piper of Judah. He set the tone and the tune of godlessness and sinfulness, and others followed him. Maybe tonight that's you. He wanted to show to all his friends, I'm having nothing to do with the life that my father lived. I'm having nothing to do with the God of my father. He thought he was the big boy. He wanted everybody to see that he was having nothing to do with God. And he led many others in his sinful ways. Maybe that's your testimony tonight. Someone brought up in the things of God, having so turned from those things. And now in total defiance and in total rebellion, you're leading others away from God as well. What an awful, awful way this young man was living. Denying God, rejecting God, and turning others away from God as well. I don't know you tonight, I don't know your situation, but maybe in this gospel meeting there is a Manasseh. Maybe there's a Manasseh, and your parents loved you and the Lord prayed for you, instilled within you the true values of the Word of God. But now those parents are in glory, and you're still rejecting the God of your father. You're still living, perhaps for many years, as if God didn't speak, as if God didn't matter. What an awful tragedy. As we come into verse 10, we see that in the midst of this sinfulness and this wickedness and this rebellion, we see the grace of God. The grace of God. Tonight you're here by God's grace. Tonight you're here for a reason, you're here for a purpose. Verse number 10 we read, and the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people. But they would not hearken. It is clear that the Lord was striving. It is clear that the Lord was seeking to turn Manasseh from his evil ways and turn him back to the ways of God, but they would not hearken. The Lord spake. There's the grace of God. God could have been silent to this man. God could have turned away from this man, but God in his grace spoke. I wonder this evening, perhaps over the weeks of this, the nights of this mission, God has been speaking to you. And tonight he's speaking again. That's the grace of God. The problem is Manasseh was so proud. Manasseh was so arrogant, he wouldn't listen. But the Lord was going to have to take a dealing with Manasseh. And again, we see this as an evidence of the grace of God. In verse number 11, we read that the armies of Assyria came. Their armies came, they attacked Judah, and their military onslaught was fierce, and they especially went after Manasseh, the king. And as these armies came, Manasseh, the proud, brave man, where do we find him now? We find him in a thorn hedge, hiding for his life. He wasn't so big now. All his false gods couldn't do anything for him now. And there he is, the big, proud, arrogant king of Judah, hiding in a ditch for fear of the Assyrians. And then the armies found him, the Assyrians found him there, as verse 11 tells us. Oh, there was no royal protection squad for him there. No bodyguards looking out for him. He was all alone. And young man, young woman, God may have to bring you to that place where you are all alone and all your friends are gone and you've got nothing. God has to bring you down. They bound him, they chained him, and they carried him back to Babylon. Oh, they were going to make a show of Manasseh. They were going to parade him around the streets. Look who we have captured. The big king of Judah. You see, Manasseh was going to be humbled. The Assyrians were a notoriously fierce army. They showed no mercy. They took no prisoners. And this young man who for all of his life thought he could live without God, was brought to a place where he was all alone. You see, God wasn't going to be mocked. And he's carried into a prison cell. And it's there in the darkness of that place in Babylon, in a country far from home, that God brought this proud, sinful man to the lowest point in his life. There he lives. There he stays for fear of his life. He didn't know what was going to take place. He didn't know what the Assyrians were going to do to him, but he trembled. This proud heart was now replaced with a trembling heart. Because tonight, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And this young man was reaping the whirlwind of a rebellious, sinful life. He thought God didn't matter. God was going to show him that he was in control. God was going to bring him down. Young person tonight, older person tonight, that's exactly where sin will bring you. We said this on Friday night as well. Sin will destroy your life. Sin will ruin your life, just as it did for Manasseh. Maybe you think this evening, I'm away from the influence of home. I'm away from church. I'm away from youth fellowship. I'm away from all the things that I was brought up with. And my life is better because of it. No, your life is not. Satan has only one desire for your life, and that is to ruin your life. And there, as he lay in the dark, distant place, God in his grace caused him to remember the things that he was told and brought up with. In verse number 12, look what we read. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. There's the grace of God. A man who deserved nothing but justice, deserved to die in Babylon, yet he experienced God's grace. And that young man, as we read on in verse 13, he prayed unto the Lord, was entreated of him. This young lad realized the foolishness of his ways. Oh, he had to learn it a very hard way. But the scriptures tell us that the way of the transgressor is hard. And young person, tonight, before the devil ruins your life, and before the devil destroys your life, and before sin ruins your life, get back to God. Get to him tonight. Because no matter how far you've gone, the grace of God in Jesus Christ can still reach you. But you must do as Manasseh did. You must repent. You must acknowledge. You must be humbled. We close this evening by seeing not only a privileged lad and a problemed life, but notice a pardoning Lord. Well, thank the Lord tonight that there is one who is full of grace and truth. The Lord would have been entirely just to have left him there to die in Babylon. But thank God he doesn't deal with us after what we deserve. He deals with us in grace. And the greatest demonstration of the grace of God is giving his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. The only thing we deserved, and we hear lots about rights today, the only thing we deserved was to be damned in hell the day we were born. But God in his grace sent his Son to live a life of humility and obscurity upon this earth, and then to go to the cross and to die in our place, to take our sin, to pay the price for our sin. You want to see the grace of God? You look to Calvary. You want to see how much God loved this world? Look to the cross. This young man, Manasseh, received the grace and the mercy of God, even though he deserved justice. Verse 13, the Lord heard him. He prayed unto him and was entreated of him and heard his supplication. Here's the amazing grace of God. Sinner, this evening you come to Jesus Christ. The promise of the gospel is, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You come to him tonight. With all of your sin, the way you are, he'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's the grace of God. Manasseh didn't deserve God's grace because of the way he was living, but he received it. And tonight, young person, older person, You can experience the grace of God and salvation by turning from your sin, repenting of your sin, humbling yourself before God, and crying unto Him for mercy and for forgiveness. The Lord pardoned him, and the Lord saved him. What an amazing demonstration of the grace of God, and we've only touched on it tonight in the story of Manasseh. Manasseh was a great sinner, yet he experienced great grace. And despite the greatness of his sin, the grace of God still reached him. Because thank God tonight, where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. And tonight you might be abounding in sin, reveling in sin, living it up in sin. Praise God in the gospel, the grace of God can abound toward you. Change your life, transform you, make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Maybe this evening, like Manasseh, you've been rebelling against your parents. You've been turning away from the God of your fathers. Turning away from the way that you've been brought up in the things of God. And thinking this is life. Listen, there's no life outside of Jesus Christ. He says, I am come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. Tonight, while the Lord is calling, and tonight, while the Lord is speaking, will you come to Him? Will you receive His grace tonight? Will you come to Jesus Christ this evening and be saved? Tonight, there is a Savior who stands willing, ready, and able. Save your soul from sin. Seek the Lord tonight. Don't live on in sin. Don't reject the Lord anymore. Don't turn away from Him anymore, but rather, this evening, with a humble, broken heart, turn to Him. He'll receive you. He'll save you. The story of Manasseh, that great sinner who received God's great grace, can be your story tonight as well. Let's bow in prayer. And as we close in prayer, I wonder this evening, is there someone? And you've gone far from God, turned away from God. And tonight the Lord has been speaking to you, the Lord has been striving. I wonder tonight, will you come? I wonder this evening, will you leave your sin and come to Jesus Christ? Will you experience the grace of God? If you have a concern, you'd like to be saved, you'd like to get right with God, then you make sure that you speak to someone, Reverend Greer, Reverend Stewart, some of the youth leaders, some of the elders, some Christian you know. I'm here to help as well in any way I can. But whatever you do tonight, don't leave this place without getting right with God. Because I tell you, the moment you step out the doors of this church, the devil will play havoc with your soul again and take away all that you've heard. Come tonight. Come now. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you would be pleased to write thy word upon hearts, we pray. O God, restore those who have wandered. Lord, we pray that tonight a Manasseh may come back to the Father's house. O God, we pray tonight you'll save. Bring the lost ones out of their sin, that they might experience the grace of God. Do it, Lord, we pray. Do it for thy glory and for the honor of thy great name. We ask all of these things. Amen.